I am reading from Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Now I'm reading from Genesis chapter 22. Moses wrote, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. And on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, thus saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of the enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men. And so those two scriptures are arguing and an apologia on James chapter 2. And I'm not going to read James chapter 2. You're all familiar with James chapter 2. But James was writing there, and he was addressing this seeming dichotomy between faith and works. And in Romans, Paul is arguing that Abraham was a man of faith. And now we all know that it was past the time of childbearing. We know that the time of childbearing, and Sarah knew and Abraham knew full well that there was going to be no time of childbearing. The time of the period that a lady has of childbearing was gone. There was no possible way that there was going to be a child. None. None in man's mind. But it reads, and Paul writes in Romans chapter 4, God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they be. And I've written in my Bible from someone else, I think Dale Rossi, the most clear and correct concise definition of faith. That is calling those things which are not as though they are. And the Bible says that in that, Abraham was righteous. That he believed that which was not yet as though it already was. That which would not be, that which could not be, that which was not yet. And then in Genesis, what we read is that he was living. He was a living man. He was like Brother Dwayne sitting here. His heart is beating. He's alive. And he has practical things in life that he does. I think so. Because if he doesn't, he's dead. He's living. He has a life. And so in Genesis chapter 22, what we are reading is what Abraham was doing. Now I can sit down and go home. Because I'm going to doodle up here on the board this morning, if I may. I don't know if that's a correct word. Oh my, can someone open this for me? I'll get it. I don't know if doodle's the right word, but maybe we can get some concepts. Maybe if I put some words up here, and I don't have this thought out theologically in some kind of a way that I'd be willing to put it on a document and say this is a theological thing, so I'm calling it doodling. And we're going to add to this a little here this morning, maybe. Reason works. Maybe we can think about that. Maybe we can think about some of the inseparable aspects of faith and works. Because these are not a dichotomy. Men have made them a false dichotomy. They're one thing. They're one word. They're one thing. That is James' argument. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. That is, you see something, you know something. See? I never understood that scripture there in Matthew chapter 24 until now. I think I do. That little verse sitting in there is talking about end times. That's what it's talking about. But it fits here because Jesus was talking, and he was talking about how it's going to be in the end times. And he said, where you see the eagles, you're going to see where the eagles are gathered, you're going to see something. That's because eagles gather where there's dead food, right? So all that Jesus was saying, but what he was saying there was, if you see something, you know something. So what James was arguing in chapter 2 about Abraham, and it has to do with faith and works, he was saying, if you see something, you know something. So you see, he had faith and he had works. But they're all the same thing. They're all the same thing. It's the same word. It's the same word. See, we're people here. I don't know if there's 200 of us here or not. Maybe there's 250 of us here. But we're alive, and we're doing something. Because if we're not doing something, we're dead. All people, from the time they were conceived, the very moment they were conceived in the womb, until they close their eyes in death, they're animated in some form or fashion. It can't be another way. It just can't be another way, or else it's death. See? It can't be another way. Because people are people, and God has made us people, and so we're doing something. And so if you see something, you know something. If you see faith, there's works. If you see works, there's faith. And this is all the same word. This is all the same word right here. This is just English, but it's all the same word. And if you miss anything else this morning, Just remember that faith and works are the same word. Never forget that. That faith and works are the same word. Now, they had different aspects, and we'll talk about that in just a little, but they are the same word. They're the same thing, because they have to be. Now, something else I hope to give us here this morning that we can get a hold of in this, that will be threaded throughout the whole. Never forget. Never get it confused. Always remember, young men, old fathers, grandfathers, mothers, never forget the world also has faith and works. The secular, godless society also has faith and works. That's important. That's imperative for us to understand, living in the days in which we are, that faith and works do not only belong to the believer and the Christian, the world also has faith and works. Yes, it does. See, maybe if we want to separate this a little, up here we would write spirit of a man, or mind. And over here we would write physical. But you're all physical here now this morning. Let's not get this confused. You are physical here this morning. And so over here we'll write physical. We'll write tangible. I think it's A. I don't know if it's A or I. I didn't major in spelling either. Intangible. Which is it, Joyce? I. Thank you. See, so this is these are all parts that go around this. Let's put infinity over here. Let's put eternal over here. And let's put time over here. And let's put earthly. And let's put big picture over here. And let's put smaller picture over here. But they're the same thing. They're inseparable. And both the saved believer and the damned unbeliever practice faith and works, because we are human and they are human. And both the damned unbeliever and the saved believer, redeemed believer, practice faith and works. It's not exclusive to the redeemed, although we are focusing that on that this morning. But it's very important for us to understand that it is only those who believe and obey Him. I think almost every time I've asked this in a public audience, what does Hebrews say there when it talks about Jesus Christ become the author of eternal salvation to under those who, what does it say? What does it say there? Now you're afraid. But almost always when I ask that, the thought we think is that He became the author of eternal salvation unto all those who believe in Him, but it doesn't say that. It says He became the author of eternal salvation unto those who obey Him. That's what it reads. He became the author of eternal salvation to those who obey Him. So that's very important. And the world has faith and work issues too. Godlessness, of which most of the world is about today, only a few are not. Godlessness is a faith also. BC, I preached and taught that some of the things that were happening were foolishness. Now I've changed that. It's godlessness. It is foolishness, and it is stupidity what's happening, but that's not important. What is important is that what is happening in your world is godlessness. And godlessness has a faith. Yes, that is true. Amen, Brother Tim. Godlessness has a faith, and it has a work. And all we need to do is wake those who sleep. The Bible says it's high time to wake out of sleep and look around in our world and observe. But most of us are more content with we want to just do whatever it takes to get back to normal. That's what most of us want to do. We just want to do whatever it takes to get back to normal. And I'm alarmed about that, because satanic diversity is being unleashed with a unified global faith. And the global inclusion that has never happened before is the result of works that allow it to proceed. Think technology that precipitates and advances the global unity of faith going on in the past 20 months or more. And the satanic darkness that has taken the globe forward in a huge leap, never before known on planet Earth in the scope and sequences which is about us. It is high time to awake out of sleep. You may argue with that if you decide to do so, but the word silently stands. Let's go forward. Number two, the works hinge inseparably on the faith of a person's mind and spirit. See? Faith is mind and spirit. Works are what happens. And the works hinge inseparably. The works hinge inseparably on the faith of a person's mind or spirit. Godless or holy. The works hinge inseparably on the person's mind and spirit. And the spirit and soul and mind of a person is owned by a God. The mind and the spirit, and it voluntarily is given at the time of accountability, it is voluntarily that spirit is voluntarily given to the loyalty of a God. And we read about this in Romans, and we read about this in the Bible all through. So the spirit is the source, and it owns the heart and the mind of a person. I probably won't go any further on that right now because of the lack of time. You can talk about that over your sandwiches later on. But the point I'm making, if you're taking notes, the works of a person hinge inseparably on the faith of that person's mind and spirit. Number three. The arguments and the false dichotomy, the false dichotomy between faith and works has been ongoing since the church, origins of the church. In fact, I am convinced that it has been going on since the Garden episode. It has been a discussion of life and life in actuality or life practice ever since the beginning, since the fall. And that is because life is a certainty. Paul the Apostle argues in the book of Romans, and he argues and writes in the book of Galatians. He talks on both sides of this same thing. He argues in Romans and Galatians on these two things, or seeming through things, which are the same word. opposite sides of the same truth, indeed. But as we take the book as a whole, using Romans and Galatians, and taking the book as a whole, we'll find the same truth from cover to cover. We will find that the faith and the works are the same word. We find this in the scriptures where it talks about things like this. It says, these things were all given to you for, it uses the word in samples. We don't use that word. It means examples. And so when we read through this Bible from cover in the front to cover in the back, we're reading stories about people who were alive and had a faith, either a God faith or a godless faith. And so we're reading these stories, and we're reading about men like Saul, who lost his way and had a godless faith, and David, which is used for example, who had a God faith. And so we're reading this Bible from the beginning to the end, and what we're reading about is men who were animated. They had to be animated, or else they were dead. So they were animated. And we're reading stories, and the Bible calls it examples, of men who had faith in their mind, whose soul and mind belonged to a God, and whose works followed them, or was part of them. And then we get to verses like Hebrews chapter 11, which we call the faith chapter, which I don't really call the faith chapter. It's an illustration of faith. It's a faith chapter. But to me, even in the scriptures, there's much more, and to just isolate Hebrews chapter 11 as the faith chapter is injustice to the rest of the whole book. And it talks about men like Abraham, and it says, and Rahab, and others. You get a whole list there. Moses' parents, and on and on. And all they were doing, but what they were doing and could not do any other, is be alive. And their minds and souls and hearts were given to a God. And so we have two things happening, and faith and works are the same word, whether you're godless or godless. They're both the same word. Because we do something. So let's believe that they are the same thing in essence. And the illustrations are given in the Word. And that will be one reason, but not the only reason, that Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, now all these things happened unto them for example, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And so we have these examples in the Bible, in the book, of prophets and kings, of slaves and peons, of the rich and the poor, of the weak and the strong, of the easy to understand and the hard to understand, and all the world as a whole, picture that faith and works are definable of themselves and yet inseparable pieces of the same object. Inseparable, undividable, indissolvable, inextricable truth. Number four, the Great Reformation was about this supposed dichotomy. And that is why Brother Menna wrote that song. Well, he didn't write that song. Another man did. I don't know if he was godly or ungodly. But that's why he made that statement, that true evangelical faith cannot be asleep. Because that's what the arguments were about. That's what the spiritual discussions were about. And so now down here we could write Protestant. And over here we could write Roman Catholic. The ironic truth is That's why it's on this program, I guess. Or else you just thought maybe it was nice two words to use. I don't know why you put it on the program. But I think, I perceive that maybe you agree that there could still be some dichotomy in our minds on this business. I'm not going to use or repeat all the illustrations that the rest of them did on boats with two oars and all that. That's fine. That'd be another way to do it. And it is true that we are not justified by works, and yet James argues, and that's why Martin Luther didn't like James's book. He said it was straw material. He said it was not valuable because it didn't fit his faith. It didn't fit his faith. And so he said it was a straw book, and James says, James writes, and we believe all this morning, I'm confident that it is an inspired book. See then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. That's what James writes. Not only by... So the Protestants said faith alone. Didn't matter. The Catholics said sacrament. Liturgy. Okay, Jewish, how do you spell liturgy? Thank you. Liturgy. And such like words. And such like truths and concepts and dichotomies. Supposed dichotomies, and yet I declare again that this word and this word are the same word. We could put down here righteousness. And we should put in here, Brother Leo, faith righteousness. Is that correct? Wherever he is. Faith righteousness. And we could call this practice. Decisions. Choices. Things we do. So by the time of the Great Reformation, this group over here had a system. Brother Anthony already talked about it, and Brother Durrell talked about it. We've already been thinking about this morning, had a system going on. And over here, this group reacted to that, took the scriptures, and made it say what they wanted to say, and they said, no, it's this way. And this group pressed this part way further. And see, we call it a dichotomy. And we know that the Great Reformation emerged. But there was a group of faithful who believed that it was not a dichotomy. They were nicknamed and mocked and called Anabaptists. And I think that we own that as our forefathers, Anabaptists. And they went about making their faith and practice same thing. Spanish, they say mismo. I don't know why that matters. It's just a word I learned a long time ago. It means same. And they were mocked and called Anabaptists, and they were with merciless atrocities imposed upon them and mandated upon them. And see, sometimes we think that mandates are a new thing. They're not. It is true that the mandates of today are of more far-reaching consequences because they are now global mandates. But in those days, these men called Anabaptists faced mandates because the church and the state were riding with each other. The sad truth is, if we would take our heads out of our sand, we still believe that in our country and in the world, we still try to believe or are still not awake yet. We believe that church and state are separate. I'm sorry. The global world has now changed the rules. Church and state are back together. While we sit here, the godless state is in dominance. And Jesus said it would be that way. There's nothing surprising about that. We just have to get a hold of it, see? So there are far-reaching mandates going on when Menem made that statement and whenever the Anabaptism and this whole situation here was in focus. And then there was separation of church and state, but that has changed. That's not true anymore. Because godlessness and darkness is also a religion. And now that is being taught and preached and promoted, and the darkness is now admitting that they are a religion. That didn't happen before, not very much. But if we are awake, we will now know that darkness is boldly proclaiming that they are a religion. BC, and when the pandemic was ramping in, I taught that I did not believe, I had too much faith in the government, I taught and believed that men were not sitting in Davos, Switzerland, trying to figure out how they were going to deceive the nations. But now we know that is not true. They are sitting in Davos, Switzerland, and they are publicly announcing that they are about and want to deceive the world. Get away. They are doing it. The great men of the earth are about that. Let's go on a little bit and unpack this a little bit more. I was listening to a man who was waxing eloquent about a particular historical book that he wrote. That he was reading. And he was explaining the Anabaptists, different groups, have kind of been, had a false dichotomy on this. And while he was speaking, he was talking about this. My dueling is getting really messy here. He said that some groups emphasize holiness and other groups emphasize humility. And I thought, it would seem to me that those would not be a dichotomy, they would be the same thing. See, so this group tend to think that things don't matter, humility doesn't matter, only sanctification inside and holiness matter. And it is so true. This group, we call them Amish, so we're on safe ground. I don't think there's any here. I love Amish. We'll just use Amish so that we can be safe with the word. They have emphasized this, so they do stuff. And what they're doing it for is because they believe this, and they believe that there should be some expression of humility. Because they believe that holiness and humility are equal. And that without holiness, no man can see God, but a man that is holy is also humble. And so they do things like, they do stuff. They do stuff that shows their humility. That's what they want to do. Never mind, let's just bring it here. Let's not talk about the Amish. See, I think that we are over here sometimes. Sure. Shake your head yes. Of course we are. So we have 200 groups trying to demonstrate humility. Because they believe that humility, they believe that faith and works are the same thing. And so what they're trying to do is demonstrate humility. Never mind that you can ride a black buggy and be proud. Or, I don't know, can we get it here? I mean, are we men enough to bring that here? Or maybe I'm just getting too confusing. I know this doodling board is getting confusing. But, so, that has harmed us many times. But I'm willing to stand here to say this morning that I hear rumblings of this. I hear this sometimes. I find it in my own heart sometimes. But that's false dichotomy. We must be concerned about holiness. Young men, if you go look at pornography, if you're here this morning and you're viewing this stuff, it is unholy. You have that? It is sin. It is unholiness. And no man can see the Father except he is holy. So let's get that straight. I am very much at rest to promote holiness, but not at the expense of humility. And this is why in some of my associations with the Amish, I have stopped mocking them. I don't mock them anymore. Because we too are Amish.
Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works, argues James. And he was right, because that is the truth of the word.
They're the same word. And so I have three summary points. Number one, we need to keep making practical applications to being humble people. We need to keep doing that. Because without that, I will be proud. And I need you, and I think that you, I need you. I need you to help me to make practical applications to humility. Because faith and works are the same thing. And they're called convictions. I used to believe that conviction was some kind of a spiritual Anabaptist exercise. I don't believe that anymore. I believe it's much simpler than that. And young men and young women, you need this in your life. A conviction is no more, but get me, no less than a strong belief that causes you to do something. See, I can use that. That's simple enough, I can understand. It is a strong belief, and our beliefs are guided by what? Someone tell me. Did we get that point? By our minds and the God of our minds. And it is a conviction is no more, but no less, emphasis, no more, but no less, than a strong belief that causes me to make a decision. And to do something about it.
Amen.
That's why I grow a beard. So you get the illustration. Number two, we need to continue to call out sin and unholy behavior and unholiness and believe that there is more than the present. See, faith is the big picture. Faith is about beyond. I can easily get a hold of the little things that's happening here today. I can get a hold of that I'm sitting here. I can get a hold that I'm here preaching and scared in my shoes for some of the things I've already said. I can get a hold of that. That's easy to get a hold of. The present's not so hard to get a hold of. But it's harder to understand the future. And impossible for any man here to understand eternity except by faith. Only faith believed like Abraham, who did something. And our faith is expressed in physical action. A true Christian will seek to show separation from prideful actions. And he or she will express Christ and not Satan. And perhaps it may not be wrong to do it of itself, but in the context, he or she will seek humility of some sort, and that is the battleground, because our bodies are cursed and our minds are darkened and redeemed, and therefore we will choose those things. And in many ways, the church has been busy about this for many years, and in most ways, it has blessed the churches. In some ways, it has hindered the churches. But now, the days in which we live, the forces of evil have made a sweeping, comprehensive invasion upon moral integrity, and the advances of satanic darkness are sweeping the global culture in astounding leaps and bounds. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall be in the coming of the Son of Man. And the Bible says the days of tribulation, such as not was since the beginning of the world, shall come. No, nor ever shall be. I ask you, brothers, a question now. What do those words mean? They are the words of Holy Jesus. And so I'll give you one more summary warning as it relates to our present evil age. Romans chapter 10, 17 says, then faith and works, which are the same thing, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's a distinct difference about how we are going to answer the questions of this present world, because God's faith believes the word of God completely aside from current events, and then it lives in current events and uses the word of God no matter if it makes sense or if it doesn't make sense. The godless world does it another way. They look at the current events and then see if they can find something in the word of God to fit it. And those are not the same faith. This week I was terribly alarmed and disturbed by a brother who told me that in the current situations of which we live, things are so murky that we can't tell the truth. And that alarmed me, because if we have murky faith, we will have murky decisions. And I'm alarmed by that, and this is one of the most godly men I know, and he's my friend, he's sitting here. And he didn't mean it like I'm giving it. So I'm defending him, but he did say it, Brother Dwayne. He said that things are so murky that we can't tell what is the truth. And I'm alarmed by that statement. But then I got at rest with it, because guess what? At least I'm living in reality, and that's how people have looked at life. Palette, ask it. My point is this, brothers. This word of God is going to have to be our truth. And you've heard that so often at the conference I'm with Brother Anthony's concern. I think that has harmed us some. But it's still true. The word of God is going to have to be our truth. Sometimes I preach like this, and people say, Edwin, calm down. Nothing new is happening. Things like this have always happened in the world. But Peter says, do not say things like that. Peter said, do not say that all things continue as they were, because all things are not continuing as they were. The same day that it says it was the 17th day of a particular month, in the self same day, that very morning when they got up, in the 17th day of the month, the Bible says, the fountains of the deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven opened, and they knew it not until it happened. That's what the Bible reads. I didn't say that. God said it. In the morning of the same day, And Peter says, don't have that kind of faith. Have another kind. Have the faith that believes. Something different than that. And then I had peace, Brother Dwayne, because I knew that it's just two godly human men somehow trying to wrestle with what's happening all around us. And so this morning I leave you. Faith and works are the same word. And in the darkness that is growing about us, I pray and we pray together as we wrestle together in today's world that we would believe it in our work. Follow us. May God bless you.